evening. Our series of God's answers to big questions. Over the last number of weeks, we've been seeking to discover what the Bible says to questions that, if we had the opportunity, we could ask God. We have considered 8 such questions. And if you haven't been able to be with us all through this series, all the addresses will be available online in due course, or we hope to have sets of the CDs available as well. And this evening we come to our 9th and our final subject. And it's this: we put the shoe on the other foot. If God could ask us one question, what would it be? If God could ask you one question this evening, what would he ask? Now, there are plenty of questions in the Bible. In fact, there are over 3,000 questions. That would be a nice series. 173 are from our Lord Jesus. This evening, we want to think about one question that he asks. It's a most important one because he asks it 3 times. It's a question he asks Peter, one of his close disciples. We read it in our passage this evening, in John 21, 15 to 17, 3 times Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" Friend, this is the question that is addressed to you and to me this evening. Jesus comes and he says, "Do you love me?" Let me say 3 things about this question. Firstly, the background to the question. The background to this question. There are few passages in the New Testament as moving as this one. This is the risen Lord. He has gone to the Sea of Galilee to meet with his disciples. And after directing them as to where they could find the fish, he has had a meal with them, breakfast. It's early in the morning, as John says in verse 4. And the meal seems to have passed in silence. Perhaps you have a thing about awkward silences. You have a few people over, the conversation ebbs and flows, but occasionally there's a few seconds when there's nobody speaking, awkward. Here we have an awkward silence. Here are these men huddling around this fire, eating silently, it seems, this meal which Christ has provided. What tension. What drama. Who is going to speak first? How Peter's heart must have throbbed within him, and his ears must have pricked up when Jesus spoke this question. "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" 3 times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Not, I don't think, because he doubted the truthfulness of Peter's answer, but it seems that this threefold repetition was meant to remind Peter of his own threefold denial of the Lord Jesus. We read in Luke of that account, one of these, the major events in Peter's life, the denial of his Saviour. In every gospel account, we read of Peter completely denying Jesus. In spite of all of his promises, in spite of his vowing that he would never, ever deny the Lord Jesus, the very thing he said he would not do is the very thing he did. With curses and with swearing, Peter has said, under the imminent shadow of the cross, "I don't know that man. I've nothing to do with that man. I don't know him." And we have the familiar picture of the rooster crowing, Jesus looking straight at Peter, and Peter going out and weeping bitterly. And so friends, at this point, Peter, he's a broken man. He doesn't know if Jesus will have him anymore. Has this been one failure too many? I mean, Peter has made lots of rash decisions. lots and lots of rash decisions, but has this been one too far? Surely Jesus is done with them. But friends, we see here that Jesus, he's in the business of restoring broken disciples. Like a master craftsman at restoring an antique piece of furniture, here is Jesus coming to restore Peter. Every detail at the end, in this morning, at the end of John's Gospel, was precisely that way for Peter's benefit. The fishing trip in verses 1 to 10. Perhaps that was Jesus' way for Peter to remember his first commissioning to service. After all, he had been called to be a disciple on this very shore, the Sea of Galilee. Called to be a fisher of men, here he is, back again. Even the burning coals, the fire by which Peter and the disciples were huddling around, they're eating their breakfast. Do you remember the last time the scriptures tell us that Peter had a fire nearby? It was in the courtyard when he denied Jesus. All these things bringing flashback memories, they must have. And with this question, Jesus is being like a careful surgeon, peeling back the layers to get at Peter's heart. Simon, do you love me? Notice Jesus doesn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon. He doesn't call him the name that meant rock, solid, but Simon, weak, stumbling Simon. Simon, do you remember how you boasted that your love was greater than the love of all these men for me? Do you remember that you said you were in a different league from those men? Are you done with that kind of talk now, Simon? 3 times he asks the question, do you love me? 3 times Peter said, I don't know that man. 3 times Jesus asks, do you love me? No, dear friend, this evening, he's asking us the same question. Do you love me? You Christians here, is Peter not a character that you can identify with? I think we all love Peter. What has the graph of your Christian life been like? Has it been a smooth, steady climb to maturity? Unlikely. If you're a normal sort of a Christian, most likely it will be like Peter's. Stumbling, stuttering, peaks and troughs, moments of faith and moments of failure. Old sins that you keep falling into and you have failed in many, many times. Think back over this past week. Those times when you were speaking with angry words and giving hurtful looks. Those times when you were doing such and such a thing which you knew full well in your conscience that it was against God's word. Can you not remember? Can you not remember your grumbling in work because something had gone wrong and you were speaking or you were thinking ill of the providence of God for it? Can you not remember? Can you not remember how you've been occupied with the world from Monday morning to the last thing Saturday night? You have scarce had time to think of him. Can you remember what corners you have pushed Jesus into to make room for your comfort? How you have squeezed him into 5 short minutes, maybe less, just to make time for you? Can you not remember? Can you not remember those times when you have denied him? You have failed him terribly by the way you've spoken, thought, or acted. Oh friend, is not the loving Saviour, with pity in his eye, not saying to you, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me? It was so obvious Jesus loved Peter, That wasn't the great issue. The great issue was whether Peter loved Jesus. And friend, is that the issue for you this evening? It's not so much that God loves you, but do you love God? Do you love me, he asks. And if you're not a Christian, well, do you want to know what the Bible's all about? Do you want to know what the commandments are looking for and pressing for? It's to love the Lord with all of your being, with all of your heart and soul and strength and mind, and your neighbour as yourself. That's the summary of the law and the prophets, all the scriptures summarized in this. Do you love Jesus? The gospel comes to you today and asks, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? He has done everything necessary for your salvation. The Bible shows you this Jesus, with all of his wonder-working power, miraculously leaving homes never the same again. And the gospel asks, do you love this Jesus? Do you love him? Jesus comes to you this evening and he asks, not, do you remember when you did this? Not, do you remember when you did that? But, do you love me? If there's one thing that ought to give us sleepless nights, this is it. If there's one thing that ought to leave us restless and anxious and full of care, here it is. This one supreme, fundamental question. Do I love Jesus or not? Because nothing else matters really in comparison to this. Doesn't matter really who loves us or who doesn't love us. Doesn't matter who likes us or who doesn't like us. Doesn't matter what we have or what we don't have. Compared with this, everything else takes second place. Do you love this Jesus? What a solemn, searching question. It may seem at first sight like a simple question. In many ways it is. A child could answer this question. But yet it's very searching. Because we can know a lot, and we can talk a lot, and we can profess a lot, we can do a lot, we can work a lot, we can give a lot, we can go through a lot, we can make a lot of a show in our religion, but yet be dead before God from lack of love and still go down to the pit. Do we love Christ? That is the great question. The background to this question. Then the second thing we want to look at this evening is the answer to this question. The answer. We have had a threefold question, and in turn we have a threefold answer. Three times Peter replies to Jesus saying, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Notice he can't even think of comparing himself with the others anymore. He doesn't even want to go there. Lord, you know that I love you. And the answer Peter gives is the only answer that any of us can give. Perhaps you're here this evening and you're feeling weak and fearful and unstable in your Christian life. And if I was to ask you whether you are converted, whether you are a believer, whether you have grace, whether you are a child of God, that if I was to ask you any of these questions, some of you might reply, I really just don't know. I just don't know. But if I was to ask you, do you love Jesus? I know that many of you could say, yes. Yes, I do. You perhaps don't love him as much as you ought, but you love Jesus. So friend, let this question, let this answer be a test of your state before God. loving Christ. Love that comes from an inward sense of having your sins forgiven. If you've come to Him with your sins, if you've tasted forgiveness, you will not be able to help yourself from loving this Lord. And the more you realize what He's done for you, and how He's died for you, and how He's washed you and justified you by His blood, the more you will love Him. After all, we love Him because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. And your knowledge of theology may be weak, and your ability to defend your views may be poor, but you cannot help but love Jesus. So you respond with Peter, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know." That's the only thing we can appeal to. He knows. You can't appeal to your good week, how you've been so busy for the Lord, how you've lived so perfectly. That's not true for any of us. It's to the knowledge of God that you appeal. And often our sins and failings can cause us even at times to wonder if we even love Him at all. Perhaps you're here this evening and you have very, very little confidence of your standing before God. Assurance is just something you dream of. You just don't know. John Newton felt a little bit like this. Famous for writing the great hymn, Amazing Grace, he also said this: "'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not?" Do you feel like that sometimes, friend? See here this evening, He knows. You know all things, Peter says. Perhaps, doubting Christian, you're on the brink of despair. But He knows. He knows that you love Him. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows that while in your heart you are willing, but your flesh it is weak. Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Lord, you know everything. You know me better than I know myself. You know how to handle me and how to deal with me. Lord, you know in my heart that there's love for you. That's the confession He wants to hear from your heart this evening. However, I wonder, friends, if Christ should make His presence with us this evening visible. He is here. If He was to make His presence visible, and if He was to walk down these aisles and stop at each pew, could we all appeal to His divine omniscience, His infallible knowledge that we all love Him? Could we all say to Jesus, "Lord, you know that I love you"? You see, that's the difference between a pretender and the real deal. You might say this evening, "Lord, my minister thinks that I love you. Other people around me, they think that I love you. My family, they think that I love you. My friends, they think that I love you." But perhaps you cannot say, "Lord, you know that I love you." J.C. Ryle said this: "It is not hard to deceive ministers, relatives, and friends, but it is impossible to deceive Christ." It is impossible to deceive Christ. Could you honestly give the answer to this question? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." If you can, even with the smallest grain of faith, if you can say it sincerely, friend, bless God that He has given you a sincere love to the Saviour. And ask Him to increase it from a spark into a flame and to fan it. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. The answer to this question. So, the background, the answer. Thirdly, the response to the question. The response to this question. Not only does Jesus ask the question three times, and not only does Peter reply in the affirmative three times, but three times Jesus responds back to Peter. Verse 15. Feed my lambs. Verse 16. Take care of my sheep. Verse 17. Feed my sheep. I don't think there's a huge significance in the variation between lambs and sheep here. John, all through his gospel, and even in this section, he is a wordsmith. He's master at interchanging words. The point here is that Peter, having been forgiven and restored, and having publicized his love to Jesus, he's now called to serve Jesus. He's called to demonstrate his love to Jesus. Do you love me? Jesus says. Then one of the best evidences that you can give is to feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. In other words, spend yourself in humble, loving service to the people of God. His lambs, his sheep. Feed them. Care for them. And friend, if you want to demonstrate your love to the Lord Jesus, he says to you this evening, well, off you go. See all those people that I have put you among. Love them. They might be cranky. They might rub you up the wrong way. But you are to go and love them and feed them. You are to nourish them and cherish them. You are to care for them. Don't be a stumbling block to them, he says. Help them. So do not, O Christian, say that you love him and yet do nothing for him. If you genuinely love Jesus, you will love his lambs. That means you will put in the time in preparing for Sabbath school teaching. It means you will put in the time to prepare for a Friday night club talk and a holiday Bible club chore. It means that you will be involved in the life of the church. If you love me, Jesus says, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep in whatever little way you can. And perhaps there are some here this evening that say they love Jesus, but really, oh, I can't be bothered with the whole church thing. Jesus says that can't be. If you love me, you will love my sheep. You will want to serve them. You will want to join with them. Jesus is saying that love for him and love for his flock, they are to be inseparable. You can't have one without the other. If you genuinely love Jesus, you will love his lambs. The response to this question. The background, the answer, the response. Friends, your eternal safety hangs on this question. Do you love me? Jesus asks. Do you want to know what relationship with Christ you actually have? Well, consider. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you love him more than anything else? Is he the joy of your heart? Is he your constant delight? Do you find pleasure in his presence? Could you say to him this evening, Lord, you know that I love you. And are you demonstrating your love to him by loving his church, doing what you can to feed his lambs? And surely, friends, we all say with William Cowper, another great hymn writer, we all say, Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint. Yet I love thee and adore. O for grace to love thee more. Amen.